Welcome to Gay Geek Bizarre Show, episode 23. It's a Monday, October 10, 2016. Screw that. I am Nard.
And I am Ray.
Yes. And Ray is actually officially moving out today. Well, he did move out last week, but then he's got some stuff today.
Yep, I got it all now, I think.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So how was your weekend, Ray?
It was good. Awesome. Got settled in the new place on Saturday, and I went because Marvin told me years ago about this place to go get a good foot massage, and I said, you know, I want to treat myself because I've been running all day long, and I'm like, I just want a little treat.
Okay.
So I went to the foot massage place, and they had a deal for 30-minute foot massage and 30-minute back massage for $40. And I was like, okay, that's not bad. So I did that, and it turned out to be really good, except I had all these knots in my back from stress of moving and work and everything. So I woke up Sunday morning and they were all back in a real knot and it was hurting.
Oh, wow. So it was not effective. Was it?
Well, it was effective, but they just all knotted back up. I mean, overnight. It was just like whatever she got popped out, just one big knot in the center of my back. So,
you know, that's something I don't do often. In my whole life, I think I've had massages like less than 10 times. So even
I highly recommend it to anybody that as long as you can afford it, go for it.
So. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. But and then Sunday we went over to Casey and Chris's.
Oh, before that, after,
well, we had dim sum for Wayne's birthday party.
Which, right? Yeah, happy birthday, Wayne.
That's right.
That's right.
So even though we sat at the table with the new friends and not the old friends.
Mm-hmm.
So
that's right. So happy birthday, Wayne. Actually, that day Sunday I was busy because I had to go to the Montreal softball. Fall ball. Yeah, so I must softball league, you know. It's our theme is Pokemon. Ours is Gengar or Gengar. It's one of those Pokemon characters, so. And it's, yeah, we won and then we lost. It was fun. It was a fun weekend. And then I thought I can't make it to dim sum, then that's how I got to go to dim sum with you guys.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was very impromptu for me.
Yeah,
I think I was smelling a little. I had to change shirts. It's a good thing I did. But
you can't smell it over some of the food there.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Mm-hmm. So we went to Chris and Casey. So thank you very much, Chris and Casey, for hosting the birthday party for Wayne.
The birthday pool party for Wayne.
Pool party.
Yeah, well, the good thing there, they have a hot tub.
Yeah.
And I don't know if it was the hot tub or the alcohol that I had, but I was feeling good. My back was all relaxed out by the time I left yesterday afternoon. So,
well, that's good. So after that, what did we do?
We went and had Genghis Khan.
Mongolian barbecue.
Yeah.
How could you eat that much when you ate so much at the dim sum?
That was at like 11 o'clock in the morning. This was like 8 o'clock last night. Oh, or 7 o'clock last night, right before the debate started.
I was still full. Oh, that's right. I ate some banh mi at the pool party. That's why I was still full.
Oh.
Yeah, I was so full when we were done. So anyway, yeah, happy birthday, Wayne. Yep. And yeah, it's his birthday today. We're recording October 10th.
Today,
so we celebrated yesterday. Anyway, so one more thing before we go to the Gay Geek and Bizarre. Did you watch some or even clips of last night's debate?
I had to record it.
You had to record it?
Because somebody was watching it with me, and they were just like, I don't understand this. I don't know why we have to watch this. And they were just whining. So I finally just cut it off.
Oh. It was interesting. I think Hillary won. I mean, however.
Well, the polls came out today. Hillary did win. So.
Oh, yeah, okay.
54%, I think, is what it was.
Oh, yeah, okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, because he's trying to... Trump was trying to bring up the Bill Clintons, but who's not running for president.
Yeah, I know. Anyway, this morning, after the numbers came in, Hillary Clinton tweeted out to Trump, says, "Do you see my pussy now?"
Yeah, that's right. What did you hear the whole recording when it came out last Friday? Oh, my God. That was... How could anyone support that? I don't know. There's some people who are. Okay, let's just be fair, okay? People do not, there are many people who don't like Trump, there are many people who do not like Hillary. But come on, if you have a person, you know, Trump doing all those things and recording it, and you know, and it says it's just words. It kind of makes you think why his own party is leaving him. So I don't know. It's anyway.
It's a big mess. Yeah. We're doomed either way we go. It's the end of times. I tell you, the end of times.
Yeah, and of course Hillary has her own scandals also, which is not very much televised. It's not really popularized. So how do you call it? Yeah.
Television. Well, no, the Republicans have been talking about some email deleting for a year now, costing millions of tax dollars, and they still hadn't found anything.
Mm-hmm.
But they're trying to keep it in the public notice. But when Reagan and them, and when Reagan, well, not Reagan, but when Bush did it, nobody said anything.
Mm-hmm. You know, when she did it, yeah. But anyway, that's politics, guys. We don't want to talk about much politics. But this is, but our gay here. Yeah. Want to do the gay, Ray?
I'm very gay. Okay.
Okay.
Gay couple take lead in Russian contest to become IKEA cover stars. A gay couple set to win a competition to become the cover stars on the latest IKEA Russian catalog. The face from the cover contest invites members of the public to visit IKEA stores and create a pose in front of a professional photographer. The photo can then be put onto a personalized catalog. Participants are invited to submit their photo into an online competition to become the main face of the IKEA cover and win IKEA prizes. The IKEA website suggests a creative approach and good humor will increase your chances of winning. This year's competition, running from 9th of September to October 23rd, has a clear front runner, a photo of a young gay couple shot in an IKEA store in Moscow. Thanks to an online campaign on Russian social media site VK, their cover has attracted close to 7,000 votes at the time of writing, a lead of more than 6,000 votes over the cover in second place. In 2015, IKEA ceased publishing an online magazine in Russia amid concerns it was violating a recently introduced law prohibiting all publications promoting a distorted understanding that gay and heterosexual relations are socially equivalent.
That's just evil.
Hmm. Announcing that it was abandoning IKEA Family Live, which portrayed same-sex couples among various other types of family, IKEA said, "We understand that some publications in our magazine can be considered as propaganda."
Yeah, it could be.
Yeah. On the subject of current face from the cover contest, an IKEA Russian spokesman told Gay Star News, "We at IKEA are for the many. We welcome anybody regardless of their age, gender identity, sexual orientation, physical ability, ethnicity, race, national religion, marital or family status, or any other dimension of their identity. We just want your money." No, I just put that in there. That wasn't for them. The principal premeditates every aspect
of permeates
every aspect of IKEA, be it employment or any event organized by IKEA. In the contest, as in any activities promoted by IKEA, the very same non-discriminating principles apply.
You know, that's interesting because we've all known that. Remember the Olympics happened in Russia,
yeah,
and they don't want gay people to be doing things that would show as homosexuality as propaganda, and many people defied that anyway. Yeah. So anyway, here you go. IKEA, it's something that is a big thing, of course, in Europe.
Yes, but will they be able to put their picture on the front page of the cover? Because then it's propaganda again.
Mm-hmm. Well, we'll see if it will slip through the cracks or something. I'm sure there people are going to be up in arms around it. But I think it's interesting that they still have those. I mean, Russia, I in that aspect, you know, Russia is just so behind.
Well, you know, they're backing Trump, so what do you expect?
That's true. Okay, let's go to another gay, which it's in our facebook.com/gaygeekbizarre. It's our webpage, gaygeekbizarre Facebook page. So it's Pornhub, the top Pornhub gay searches in the UK versus the US. So Pornhub just released its stats about the top searches on its Pornhub gay section in the UK, and it's pretty interesting. So the data shows that straight men dominate the top searches in the UK, with straight first time, straight, and straight friend taking the top three places. Okay, so
I'm straight.
I'm going to do the United Kingdom searches, okay, and then you go to the US one. Okay, so top one. Okay, let's go from top to the lowest. Okay, so we in the United Kingdom, most popular gay searches are straight, first time, straight, straight friend, twink, British, teen, public toilet. Oh my god, they actually search for that. Straight guy tricked. What does that mean?
That they tricked a guy into having sex with another guy.
Oh, okay. Daddy. I do daddy. Hey, daddy. I use daddy. Straight seduced. Right. College roommates. And British chav. What does that mean?
Chav is a slang word in Britain, and I can't remember what it's for.
Okay. Go do the United States one.
This in comparison to the United States, where straight first time still takes the top position. He's the top. Big black dick and black finish off the top three. So here are the most popular gay searches in the United States. Straight first time, big black dick. Black, straight, straight friend, straight seduced, black daddy. College roommates, daddy, twink, coach, bareback, monster cock, teen, cartoon, massage, glory hole, married, caught, and locker room.
Really? Cartoon? That's kind of creepy.
Okay. There's a lot of erotic cartoons out there now.
Oh, there are some that are cartoons. That's right. I've seen that. Oh, by the way, chav is a pejorative epithet used in Britain to describe a particular stereotype. The word was popularized in the first decade of the 21st century by the British mass media to refer to it to an antisocial youth subculture in the United Kingdom. Okay, so chav.
Okay. It's just about the youths.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so what other statistics do we have here? So we have that big black thing. That's the second top. Okay, let's go back to United Kingdom. The most viewed categories in the UK are also revealed with straight guys, black, and daddy taking the top three spots. It's the same thing as earlier. What's the difference between
these are categories. Categories. Those are not, the other one are searches.
Oh, the ones are searches. This one's categories.
Yeah, so these are the most categories.
Okay, let's go with the categories. So here in United Kingdom, the categories, most viewed gay categories, straight guys, black, daddy, bareback, big dick, twink, interracial, cream pie, group, college, Japanese, and muscle. So that's United Kingdom. How about United States, Ray?
Okay. Well, back in the United States, black, straight guys, and bareback make the top three. So our top category is black, straight guys, bareback, big dick, daddy, interracial, twink, college, cream pie, group, Latino, blowjob, hunks, reality, muscle, bear,
yes,
solo male, fetish, massage, and Japanese. So I wonder if Japanese considers all Asians, or are they just putting in...
A true Japanese, because Japanese have their own sort of fetish that they do. Sometimes they use candles, they use something.
Japanese are a little crazy sometimes. Oh. I've seen some of those videos.
Oh, some are. Okay, so how about maps? A map of the most viewed gay categories in the United States is pretty simply divided into straight guys and black. So in the U.S., it's pretty much straight guys and black.
Pretty much anything from Texas to the East Coast is black.
They look for black, top most.
And everything from Texas to the past Texas to the West Coast is straight guys.
Interesting. Okay, so how
except
about...
Except in Kentucky. Kentucky, yeah. They do something totally ass backwards.
Mm-hmm. So really quick on this relative gay category. So black is in the...
In the South.
Florida, pretty much, South. Yeah, pretty Latino much. In Texas.
Twink in Oklahoma, mm-hmm. Bareback in New Mexico. So apparently all the bareback things happening in New Mexico.
Twink in fetish Maine.
Fetish is in Nebraska. Isn't that what's above?
I think so.
Arizona?
Cream pie? Or what is that? Wyoming? Yeah. Bear? Yeah.
Fetish.
Where's bear? There's bear. There's a state that I don't know. I couldn't recognize.
That's North Dakota.
North Dakota? Bear?
And South Dakota's fetish. Then Idaho's twink, and then I can't think anymore. What's between California and Oregon?
Wait, what country is this? Alaska?
Alaska's cream pie.
Cream pie. be like cream pie in Alaska.
And then Hawaii likes Japanese because it's all Asian fish.
Oh, yeah, that's right. So it is an interesting demographic. You can really mine this and actually, you know, make advertisements on your website.
Oh, that is Oregon. Oregon is fetish. Bareback is Washington State.
Ah, bareback is Washington State. And then California is Latino.
Latino, yeah. Okay.
Interesting, interesting. Each state has a... It's nice to see these statistics when you do the searches. Yeah. Anyway, so that's our...
In Rhode Island, they like muscle.
Pornhub. Pornhub gay searches in the UK. It's interesting. I'll put the links on the website. It's in BuzzFeed News, so you guys can check it out. All right, let's go to the geek, Ray. How do you like to go to Mars, Ray?
Well, if it's all expense paid trip, I wouldn't mind it.
And that's the point of Elon Musk. He's probably going to do that. Now, Elon Musk has his own competitor now, Boeing, the CEO. Boeing CEO vows to beat Musk to Mars. This is good competition. Mm-hmm. That's great. It's by Bloomberg. Boeing company once helped the U.S. beat the Soviet Union in the race to the moon. Now the company intends to go toe-to-toe with newcomers such as billionaire Elon Musk in the next era of space exploration and commerce. So Boeing Chief Executive Officer Dennis Muilenburg sketched out a Jetsons-like future at a conference Tuesday, envisioning a commercial space travel market with dozens and destinations orbiting the Earth and hypersonic aircraft shuttling travelers between continents in 2 hours or less. And Boeing intends to be a key player in the initial push to send humans to Mars, maybe even beating Musk to his longtime goal. It's good that they have goals.
Yeah.
I'm convinced the first person to step foot on Mars will arrive there riding a Boeing rocket, Muilenburg said at the Chicago event on innovation, which was sponsored by the Atlantic magazine. Oh, bold move, bold claim. That's good. Like Musk's SpaceX, Boeing is focused on building out the commercial space sector near Earth as spaceflight becomes more routine while developing technology to venture far beyond the moon. The Chicago-based aerospace giant is working with the National Aeronautics and Space Administration, NASA, to develop a heavy-lift rocket called the Space Launch System for deep space exploration. Boeing and SpaceX are also the first commercial companies NASA selected to ferry astronauts to the International Space Station. This is great. I mean, there's going to be competition with these billionaires. Yeah. The good thing is,
SpaceX is slowly getting there. I mean, they've had their catastrophes with the rockets exploding on the pad, but eventually they're going to work all the kinks out, and it's going to be a routine for them.
Yeah, it's exciting that they're doing this, and it's a long-term goal to get to Mars, which is good. I mean, step by step, and of course you have to be in orbit from Earth. It become a commercial. That's great. Do you think it's going to be our lifetime, Ray? Our lifetime will go to space as a commercial.
I think you will be walking with your hands clasped behind your back and leaning over, moseying down the street while I'm in a wheelchair somewhere. It might be in that lifetime.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
But still, in our lifetime.
In our lifetime, yeah.
I would assume. What do you mean? I plan to live forever. That's right. So let's say, how many years? 15 years. It becomes commercial. And let's say it becomes like $20,000 just go to the orbit.
Government's pushing to get to Mars, what was it, by 2024 or something like that?
Mm-hmm.
We had that article a couple weeks ago.
Yeah. But do you think that's a one-way trip?
I don't see it being a one-way trip. I mean, the technology. I mean, the biggest thing is a ship that pretty much like a space shuttle that can get you from the planet to space and back and forth. That's fuel efficient, lightweight, and can handle the stress of it.
But that's what they're saying, though. I think I read it somewhere a couple of days ago about making a docking station or something similar to the ISS. Mm-hmm. That you have to be in space, and because launching from the Earth all the time, it's really expensive and it's really hard.
That's where, like, on most of the movies and stuff, they build like almost a space station rocket spaceship to transport them there, and then they have some way to get back and forth to the surface. and whether it's like a vertical takeoff and landing ship like SpaceX is working on, or it's another space shuttle type thing that Boeing's working on. I mean, one of them's going to – the biggest thing is something that works and is reliable.
There's so many things they have to do. A couple of weeks ago, Rosetta is the satellite, or it's a probe that landed, that crash-landed on an asteroid. We have to somehow have stepping stones, or, you know, stages, like colonizing the moon.
Yeah.
It's a lot nearer. I think if we're trying to go to Mars, we should colonize the moon first. So you have a launching pad.
The moon's only viable for certain things. Mars is actually viable to be colonized and livable with its own resources. Well, the moon does not necessarily have that.
Was I talking to you earlier? I was talking to someone earlier. Oh, I was talking to – who was I talking to? Oh, I was talking to a coworker. And you know what? It is possible if you terraform it. How? You launch a very calculated nuclear missiles to it.
Well, yeah, they got all kind of calculations about actually terraforming Mars.
Yeah.
And making it a habitable planet without – but you can also – make it habitable because there's enough water and the right, raw ingredients and minerals there to actually build a civilization there.
Yeah.
And if you have ever read, is it Kim Stanley that wrote it? Red Mars, Green Mars, Blue Mars, which is a story about colonizing the planet and actually terraforming it and stuff. Yeah. So,
the way when I read about that, it's going to be similar to what happened to Earth. So how do you have an atmosphere? You need to cover it with...
But here's the deal. What if we get to Mars and actually find some kind of life on it? Does that give us the right to destroy that life to terraform it?
That's the point. That's the nature of humans.
Well, it's the nature of humans. Are we ready to own it that we can't go do everything we want to do? Are we ready to stick to the Prime Directive?
We don't have that yet.
We don't have that yet.
That's why Star Trek is very, very, very advanced in thinking about that, having to, if there is a sentient being. But anyway, so... I was talking to my coworker. We're talking about that, about terraforming it. You launch nuclear warheads to it, a very calculated one. So it would create a
You're basically melting all the ice at the polar caps.
That plus you do that plus you create a a greenhouse effect. When you do that, then you can terraform it. It has to be really calculated, mm-hmm. and
we're talking that would take at least 200 years to do.
Yeah, I mean that's enough time. I mean if we start doing it now, and then forcing it to have an atmosphere, and by the time 200 years comes in,
that's the question: should we go out and change other planets just because we want to?
Well,
just because we can.
You also have to think about Earth's survival. We have to somehow get out of Earth.
Well, yeah. Eventually, we're going to have to do space travel and find somewhere else to move to. But you would think we could find habitable planets to go do that on.
See, the problem with that, there might be some Goldilocks planet somewhere out there. There are some already. However, it's too far to go to as compared to going to Mars. But you have a point, though. It's 200 years of terraforming. Let's say 200 years, you get to terraform Mars. Is it cheaper? Is it easier? Sorry, not cheaper, but it's easier to do that than to have a ship that actually goes even farther than Mars to a livable planet? It's even more feasible. And right now, we can only conceptualize going to Mars right now. And who knows what you're going to see on the other side.
We can't conceptualize having a decent president in the United States again, so... us getting into space and terraforming Mars, I think, is a little bit further off.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. If we don't blow ourselves up.
Yeah, that's true. Anyway, okay, let's...
Because according to all the crazy mags, we're right at the doorstep of World War III, depending on this election, who wins.
Mm-hmm. Oh, there's a saying that we don't know how World War III will happen or when, but World War IV will be fought with stick and stones. You know what that means, right?
Well, if World War III happens, we're probably mostly all going to be dead. So World War IV is going to be no problem because there ain't going to be too many people to fight it.
Yeah.
Or they'll just be mutants by that point.
Yeah, and then there's no more... there are no technology. There's no... everything's destroyed. And you're back to throwing rocks at each other and using sticks. That's World War IV. Anyway, let's go to Bizarre Ray.
Okay.
I'd like to do this.
Go for it.
Okay. So Bizarre, this crocodile cage of death is not for the faint of heart. This is interesting. Did you see, you look at the, if you go to the link, right, while I read this. So travelers with an absurd craving for danger should head to Darwin, Australia, ASAP. That's where they'll find the Cage of Death, an attraction that puts human bait, or visitors, face to face with some of the continent's largest crocodiles for a dive they'll never forget. Oh my God, I love this. The Cage of Death is an acrylic enclosure designed to keep humans safe as they watch big-mouthed crocs more than 16 feet long go about their daily activities. It's part of Crocosaurus Cove and an aquarium and wildlife center in Australia's Northern Territory. In each daring 15-minute Cage of Death session, visitors first dangle above the water while crocs feed before their eyes. The cage is then lowered into the tank below where the massive predators might swim right up to say a toothy hello. These are saltwater crocodiles native to Australia and known for their predatory tendency to lurk just beneath the surface of the water's edge. Getting close to them is no peaceful feat, especially for timid travelers. In the Cage of Death, there's little option but to cower in fear and hope that the acrylic barrier does its job, a visitor wrote in TripAdvisor. So a 15-minute session in the Cage of Death costs about $126. I guess it's $126 Australian dollars for a single visitor, or and about $190 for two, including the admission to Crocosaurus Cove's other wildlife attractions. I would do this once. I know it's expensive, but oh my God, that thrill of having crocodiles trying to chew on you. Would you do it, Ray?
I don't care that close about getting up to the crocodiles. I can go down to Brazos Bend and get close enough.
Oh really?
Yeah.
But it's something. But you're not protected there.
Oh no.
You know, you would rather be there.
These are pussies. They're in an acrylic cage. Brazos Bend, you can just walk up and pet them.
Oh gosh, no. But they're Texan crocodiles, so I don't think they're any vicious. But I'd like to do this if I'm in Australia, and then just experience being around these in an acrylic cage. It kind of reminds me of in Chicago going to the Sears Tower or whatever it is right now. I forgot the name. That they have this glass. You have to stand there, and then it's like you're in the ledge. You're floating in space, yeah. Something like that. You can.
Inside the building, yeah.
Yeah, inside the building. I don't fear that. I mean, I kind of think this would feel the same way, but with a little bit more excitement because there's an alligator or a crocodile right in front of you, but you're the only thing saving you from its jaws are just these acrylic cages. They're just awesome. I mean, I think I would enjoy it. I don't know if Mike would enjoy it. You mean you won't do it, Ray? I mean,
I wouldn't waste the money on it. It doesn't appeal to me to go do that.
Oh, okay.
Just like getting in a shark cage and being lured into a bunch of sharks doesn't appeal to me.
Oh, really?
Yeah, it's like
so you're in scuba gear and then you know those Shark Week things.
I'm not gonna be in scuba gear.
No. Yeah, that's true. Okay, you might look sexy on it though. What I'm saying, you have the chance to do it. Would you do it? I mean, it's a shark being around sharks. Nope. Not even.
Okay. I'm fine with National Geographic.
Oh, okay. So watching on 3D or 3D HD. I mean, HD, that's good enough for you.
That's right. If I want to get close to a monster with a big mouth and sharp teeth, I'll go watch Godzilla.
That is so corny. Godzilla. Anyway, what do you guys think of the stories today? It's really, I think they're interesting. And some of those posted by Ray, some of those posted by our friend Caesar. Thank you very much, Caesar, for those great articles on Gay Geek Bizarre Facebook page. Okay, so anything else, Ray? What are you guys? What are you planning now? You're gonna? No, you got your bike back. I guess you're. I mean, well, you've had your bike all along, yeah. But now you're gonna go bike around your new place.
I might. I don't know. I want to go home and go to sleep because I've been having to get up early.
Oh, that's right. Mm-hmm. All right, so we're gonna wrap this up. Thank you, everyone, for listening. And I guess okay. So since Ray, we might be experimenting soon on doing some remote stuff. So mm-hmm. this might the next. Shows might be a Google Hangouts thing now. We'll see. I don't know if your if our camera or it could be a what do you call this? A Skype chat or
Skype
something.
Skype chat like
that.
Or something. Yep.
We can probably do that. We'll see. All right. Thank you everyone for listening. If you want to contact us, send your emails to show@gaygeekbizarre.com.
Or you can call and leave us a voicemail at 281-947-2327. That's 281-947-2327. Give us a call and leave us a voicemail, and we'll play it on the show.
Yep. Mm-hmm. And, of course, follow us on Facebook and Twitter. And we are on Google Play, iTunes, and Stitcher Radio. And go to the official website at gaygeekbizarre.com. Thank you guys for listening, and we'll catch you guys on the next show. Bye.
Bye.